The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. We're going to get right to it. The big story of the day, story that everybody's talking about, the story that we need to clarify, boil down to its basic essence and really understand is North Korea. We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, so here's what you need to know this morning about North Korea. Yesterday, after receiving almost daily threats from North Korea's leaders and hearing that they may have developed miniaturized nuclear weapons, President Donald Trump yesterday made what for an American president was unprecedented. A statement that he made, he threatened North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, that if these threats against the United States don't stop,
they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
He repeated it twice yesterday. Now, as an American who has listened to Donald Trump for years, he's not talking about nuclear war. As a guy who knows that just a few minutes before he said this, he was talking about the opioid crisis. And this is what he said about that.
And opioid overdose deaths have nearly quadrupled since 1999. It is a problem the likes of which we have not seen.
Okay. So just a few minutes before, he was talking about another crisis, the likes of which the world had never seen before. This is something that President Trump always says. He won with an unprecedented, margin of victory that the world had never seen before. He had put together a grassroots effort, the likes of which the world had never seen before. So we as Americans understand this. I'm not sure that Kim Jong-un understands this. This is why when you're the president of the United States, you must speak softly and carry a big stick. That's always been the way of the American president. Know that you have power, but don't boast about that power. North Korea did exactly what North Korea would be expected to do. They responded. Now, for the average person, when you hear that he says, quote, the KPA Strategic Force is now carefully examining the operational plan for making enveloping fire at areas around Guam with medium to long-range strategic ballistic rockets in order to contain the U.S. military bases on Guam, including Anderson Air Force Base. What is he saying there? Because what the press reported yesterday was he was going to attack Guam, which to the average American is like, what? Why are you throwing Guam into this? Poor people of Guam. The reason why is because that is a strategic base for the United States. And if we were ever going to launch a strike against North Korea, Guam would be the place where all of our bombers would be hanging out. And so what is he saying? He is responding to hyperbole with an actual threat and a plan. I know how you're going to do it. If you're going to actually bomb us, you are going to use Anderson Air Force Base. And so I just want you to know, right now, look at the rockets. Understand, they're all now pointed to Anderson Air Force Base. So you're not going to have a base to base your operations from in Guam. He also said that they had plans by the that any plans by the U.S. to execute a preemptive strike or to decapitate him would be met with an all-out war, quoting, wiping out all of the strongholds and enemies, including the U.S. mainland. Now, here's the part that I am torn on. One, I am really happy to have a president that is willing to say it's an evil empire, period. It's an evil empire, and it's not going to stand. That's the way we won the Cold War, by being very clear on what evil looks like. Kim Jong-un and all of the Kims that have reigned before him are evil. They're not crazy. They are not crazy. They are evil. They are communists that will starve their own people to death. And anyone who stands in their way, it's not you that is thrown in prison. You're executed. And your family is thrown into prison for not one, but three generations. It's an evil empire. And so I'm really happy to have a president say, this is evil, and we're not going to stand for it. And then, because of Syria, we know that he means it. However, not all situations are the same. Here's what you really need to know. There is not a consensus within the intelligence community over North Korea's nuclear capability. We're not sure. We're not sure that they could make good on their threats. But what is crystal clear is the devastating effects of any war. This is why I have been saying for 15 years, North Korea and Iran must never have the capability of nuclear war. And the world must have harsh sanctions on Iran and North Korea, because the moment they have missiles, the moment they have a nuclear weapon, you have to take them seriously, and there are no good options left. How many years have we been saying that? North Korea, now we have run out of time. And instead of talking about what does this actually mean, the media is talking about Donald Trump. I'm torn. I like a president who is clear on evil. I don't like a president who shoots from the hip and can make things worse because another country doesn't understand exactly what he meant. When he said this last night, I have to tell you, it chilled me to the bone every time I heard it, because that's not the words of an American president. Those are the words of people like the people that run Iran. That's the kind of language that they use and they understand. The United States is different. The United States should have come out last night and said, Rex Tillerson is on a plane going to China right now, and he will be in Beijing by the morning. This is a problem that the entire world agrees on, and an unprecedented move. The United Nations Security Council, including China and Russia, have all said the harshest sanctions are going to be imposed against North Korea, and it's already underway. The United States is not going to be bullied, and we're not going to be frightened by a Tin Pan Alley dictator. He's not crazy. He's evil. And evil, the world will not side with. Now let's get back to work. That's what the president should have said. What you must take away from this that no one is giving you is that Seoul, South Korea, is 35 miles away from the 38th parallel. That's the DMZ, the demilitarized zone. It's 35 miles away. Any attack by the U.S. against North Korea will almost certainly set into motion a series of events that would bring devastation to that nation, along with massive civilian and military casualties, perhaps for sure in the six-figure range, perhaps in the seven-figure range. Seoul has 20 million people living in it. It's 35 miles away. Since the 1950s, South Korea has built armaments and built weapons to do one thing: destroy South Korea and Seoul in particular within 24 hours. We have to be 100% accurate for them not to strike Seoul, or God forbid, Tokyo. North Korea now has over 1,000 missiles pointed directly at Seoul. There are 37,000 American troops stationed in South Korea. Not to mention that South Korea's economy is the 11th largest in the world. An all-out attack against North Korea would be a devastating blow to their economy and our economy. Forget about the deaths of people you've never met on the other side of the planet. This will impact you and your family for a very long time. And we'll all deal with the deaths that we failed to prevent, or the deaths that we were part of causing on a march to war later. The global situation now is tenuous at best. The domino effect of this is global war. Now, these are the cold, hard facts. There is no good way out of this anymore. The best option we have is to apply sanctions, hold the rest of the world together, cross our fingers, say a few prayers, and hope this ends like the Cuban Missile Crisis did, and it passes in the night. Anything that beats the drums of war in this situation is dangerous. One more thing. Last night I watched the media, and boy, it was like watching two different worlds. One rah-rah, one totally against, and not totally against because of the facts that I just gave you. Totally against because the president just said these crazy things. There was a point where I believe that I mentally snapped on the media. I'm just totally done with the media. They are not helping us in any way, shape, or form. By coming out and spending literally 2 hours last night just talking about the president's language, I had a real hard time taking it from CNN, seeing that I was standing in the news pit. I used to call it the pit of despair, with all of the angry, disgruntled, and hopeless reporters at CNN, listening to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and hearing him say things like, they will die in the fiery fury of the Islamic State. Saying things, starting a speech before and after, oh Allah, give me the strength to hasten the return of the promised one. Both of those things are end time scripture for them. It's like any crazy person standing up who's a Christian and saying, you know what, we've got to start a nuclear war because Jesus is going to come back soon. That's exactly what they're saying. And after standing in that room and hearing all of them dismiss Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and the leaders of Iran and the Kim family for years, well, they're just saying this. They're just a dictator. They're not really going to do those things. For them to analyze every movement of our president, who made, I think, a bad statement. But all of us here in America know that's not what he meant. And for them to scrutinize every word as if that's exactly what he meant, after two decades of sitting around saying, no, that's not what the Kim family means, that's not what the leaders of Iran mean, when they are building nuclear weapons, it is your excuses, mainstream media. It is your excuses, your unwillingness to take dictators and people who will kill people and are currently killing people just because they're women, just because they are gay, just because they're Christian. Your unwillingness to listen to people who are actual killers is what got us in this situation. And any media source that isn't telling you these things today, you need to abandon and go find one that is telling you the truth. Back in a second. First, our sponsor is My Patriot Supply. Well, geez. Do you know, you know why it seems crazy to people to have food supply? Because food supply and fallout shelters were a thing in the 1950s and 60s. That's when, do you remember, Stu, you're probably too young, but the rest of us remember the movie The Day After on ABC? Happened in 1983. The reason why that movie was made was to weaken our position with Ronald Reagan, to try to break the American people away from a president who would do what Donald Trump did yesterday, call evil by its name. But it terrified this country. Thank goodness it didn't happen. But you don't need to have nuclear war with Russia or North Korea to have good reason to have food supply, because anything could happen. Let's say we go to war and it's only 100,000 dead. What happens to our economy? And on another front, what happens to the world? May I suggest that you start your family's preparedness with a 102-serving survival food kit that will cost you this week $99. It's healthy food, lasts up to 25 years. It's less than a dollar per serving. You'll get breakfast, lunch, dinner, shipped free to your home. 102 servings of survival food, 800-200-7163, or you can order online at preparewithglenn.com. 800-200-7163, preparewithglenn.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
I will be my choice. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Cause we have won.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK.
This is, you know, in trying to get the news, the actual news, that wasn't just about politics, wasn't about rah-rah, I love Donald Trump, boo-boo, I hate Donald Trump. To actually get analysis last night from the mainstream media was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous attempt. People in your circle of friends need to understand, and you need to be the one that carries this water because nobody else is. There is no winning a war like this. There is no winning. If you take Seoul, South Korea, and you would put it on a grid system, and you break it up into 3-foot blocks, the entire a city of 20 million, North Korea has the firepower at its ready. This isn't like, oh, they could just launch all the... No. This is what they have prepared for. They can destroy every single 3-foot block on that grid within 24 hours. That's 20 million people dead. You say, well, let's just unleash hell on North Korea. What you don't understand is this is a civil war. That is like saying, hey, we're going to just unleash hell on everybody in the North or everybody in the South. Families are involved. North Korea, South Korea will not be a fan of America if we kill their relatives in North Korea. This is a no-win situation at this point. Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. We're glad you're here. There are four things that four real, true, strategic steps that the United States could take, and all of them are bad at this point. Number one, prevention: a crushing U.S. military strike to eliminate the North Korean arsenal of mass destruction, take out its leadership, destroy its military. It would end North Korea's standoff with the United States and South Korea, as well as the Kim dynasty, once and for all. That's going to be ugly. Two, turning the screws. Limited conventional military attack, or more likely a continuing series of such attacks, using aerial and naval assets, possibly including narrowly targeted special force operations. They'd have to be punishing enough to damage North Korea's capability, but small enough to avoid being perceived as the beginning of a preventive strike. The goal would be to leave Kim Jong-un in power, but force him to abandon his pursuit of nuclear ICBMs. Three, remove Kim and his inner circle, most likely through assassination, replacing the leadership with a more moderate regime willing to open North Korea up to the rest of the world. And four, acceptance. Understand that North Korea now has nuclear weapons. They are a nuclear power. What are you going to do about it? Accept it and move on. I'm no military expert by any stretch of the imagination, and I am not one to lay down our arms and lay down, you know, against ISIS and evil. But I will tell you, we have painted ourselves in a corner, and we've done it over the last three decades. We've coddled him. We have let them get away with some of the worst things when we knew exactly what they were doing and what they were striving for. We refused to be serious about it. The time to act was then. The time to watch and stand guard is right now. But you're not going to, you know, grant me the serenity to be able to know the difference between the things that I can change and not change, to be able to have the courage to change those things I can, and the acceptance of those things that I can't. Know the difference between the two. I would say the difference here is you can do something about ISIS. The hour is growing so late, I'm not sure you can do much about radicalized or radical Islam, especially in places like Europe. The hour is growing late. It's not here yet, but midnight is coming. I don't think there's anything you can do about North Korea at this point, except watch him. A 10 to 30 kiloton nuclear warhead is what they believe they have now on top of the ICBMs. We don't know for sure. Seoul is, it's not 20 million, it's 25 million in the Metroplex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How big is Tokyo?
Almost 40 million.
40.
It's like 38 million. It's almost the population of California.
Wow.
California is what, 43 million?
In Tokyo?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How devastating is a 10 kiloton missile? How big of an impact is that, Stu?
I mean, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It was It was the North Korean weapon they tested in 2013 was 10 kilotons. They believe the last one they tested was about 30.
What did we drop in
Nagasaki?
Nagasaki
was 20 kilotons. So you get the sense it's about that size, right? Now, that obviously that was, you're talking at least 100,000 dead immediately. We are in that range of 100,000 dead immediately. And then you've got another couple 100,000 injured immediately. And then you have longer term effects that could happen after that. And of course, that's just one bomb dropped and they just decide to stop doing it, right? Like, that's not what they're going to do.
Yeah,
no. They're going to fire multiple weapons. And also, this is after probably a lengthy barrage or of since, you know, before and after of conventional weapons, not to mention their biological capacity, which is extreme.
Chemical
and biological. They have extensive amounts, which easily could be delivered to Seoul for sure, and likely Japan as well. So it is ugly. I mean, you read this story, what you were kind of talking about, this story in The Atlantic, which was written a few months ago, about what would happen if they got the capability they got yesterday, which was announced yesterday. So this is, oh my gosh, what happens if they actually get here?
So, you know, it wasn't announced yesterday. It was leaked yesterday.
Yes.
Yes, it was leaked by Fox News and then verified in a tweet. And in between the Fox News leak and the tweet, Hallie, what's her name, from the UN, was asked by Fox. What's her name?
Nikki Haley. Yeah,
Nikki Haley, thank you. Nikki Haley was asked, and she said, it serves no purpose to comment on classified information.
Right.
I mean, so this wasn't released.
Wasn't this another report, though? There was a couple reports that came out about North Korea. I think you're thinking of a different report. Regardless,
I know there were two of them yesterday.
Yeah, he confirmed the one about, I think the Washington Post later came up with the actual intelligence report about their capability to shoot to fire the ICBMs that could potentially reach.
Yeah, they did the miniaturization.
Yes, the miniaturization, yes. Which is a big deal. Yes. It's the biggest part of this, really.
Yes.
Listen to this. This is, again, from The Atlantic. North Korea has a wider array of chemical and biological weapons than it did 12 years ago. Recent assassination of Kim's half-brother, Kim Jong-nam, demonstrated the potency of at least one compound, the nerve agent VX. The Kim regime is believed to have biological weapons, including anthrax, botulism, hemorrhagic fever, plague, smallpox, typhoid, and yellow fever. And it has missiles capable of reaching Tokyo, a metropolitan area of 38 million. So again, it's not nuclear is just the top line thing that everyone worries about. In a Seoul would get hit with they believe they have 8,000 big guns, I mean artillery, right near the demilitarized zone that could take out, as you kind of mentioned, the 3x3 grid. And then add to that chemical, electrical, and then nuclear is like
icing on the cake.
It's icing on the cake at that point.
So let me ask you this. Two questions. First one, has anybody heard anyone ask this question? Our intelligence said that they were 2 years away from the missile,
right,
and then probably another year from the miniaturization. Okay. Is anyone helping them? I mean, this is a pretty big leap. Is anybody helping them, or is our intel just that bad? Could be. Our intel is just that bad.
Could be a combination of the two.
Right.
But
I haven't heard, is there anybody who is
probably
helping them?
China's probably helping them. Yeah, Russia could be.
And Iran.
Iran is working with them.
Yeah.
Right.
And we know Iran has nukes, so I mean, they've got no problem helping the North Koreans.
And to give the intelligence community a little break here, getting intelligence out of that place, God only knows how you would do it. I mean, it's almost impossible.
I should have made that more clear.
It's not, you're not.
We have no intel practically on the ground in North Korea. I mean, You know, I mean, just getting people in there and having, you know, human intel in North Korea is almost impossible.
Like the experts say, basically, let's just say Kim Jong-un took a really deep, like he ate a lot of like turkey and the tryptophan kicked in mm-hmm. and he went into a really deep sleep. So he was completely asleep and he took a long nap. And we decided we're going to go in there with nuclear weapons and take out his arsenal. Okay. We're going to go in there with nuclear weapons. And he's not going to respond because he's asleep. He had a big turkey dinner. He's just asleep. Even then, we would not necessarily be able to take out their artillery. A lot of it's buried under mountains. It's all protected to, it's all designed specifically to be protected against these attacks. And we don't even know where they are. We could go in there and wipe out 25 of their 30, they have 30 to 60 nuclear weapons, supposedly. 25 or 55 of the weapons, and they'd still have 5 nuclear weapons. This is why you try really hard before a country gets nuclear weapons to eliminate them and stop them in that process, like with Iran. And it's also why almost no one in human history has ever given them up once they have them. Only South Africa has done that. And you could argue Ukraine, who they weren't technically their weapons. They were really the Soviet Union's, which went to Russia. But I mean, once you have them, you are a world player and really no one can do anything to you.
Did anybody else notice last night, if you're watching the mainstream media, how many people were on television saying that the president has just drawn a red line in the sand, which Kim Jong-un already violated, okay? Because the president was saying, you know, don't threaten us anymore or you'll see fire and fury. Okay, so he drew a red line. They crossed it within hours. Did anybody else notice that the pundits on television were all saying pretty much the same thing? This president won't have any credibility unless he acts. Well, we've kind of backed ourselves in a corner. We must act now. I kept hearing that all night thinking, no, we don't have to act. We are still the mass. Why are we a slave to a red line? If that red line shouldn't have been said, then we should not be doing it. Like certainly, red line in Syria.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should, because we had the capability and it was the right thing to do, and it's an easy win.
However, when Obama put down the red line and then stepped over it, or they stepped over it, they weren't goading him into any kind of action.
Oh, I felt
it was perfectly fine.
I felt that the left media yesterday was absolutely
unbelievable.
Goading him. I couldn't believe how hawkish CNN
all of a sudden
had become.
And of course, once it starts, they would reverse that immediately.
Oh, of course.
If they were to get into war. The other part is they are looking at it almost solely through the lens of politics.
Yes.
Donald Trump,
yes.
Is he out of his mind?
Yes.
Look, he's saying things that are bad.
Yes.
Will he allow North Korea to push him around? And it's like all these things are stupid. They don't matter at all.
At all.
We're talking about millions of people dead. This is the idea that, I mean, Donald Trump does need to be much more precise in his language, and not because the American people don't understand it. We all know that Donald Trump says everything is the biggest and the best, and it's all stuff you've never seen before. But what does North Korea think? When you say the power that has never before been seen on the planet, that to any dictator, and I don't want to use the word crazy, but a dictator who doesn't understand our culture, who controls every word the media says, to them, that seems like a nuclear war threat. And to us, it seems like Donald Trump is saying it again. He thinks every one of his hotels is the greatest hotel of all time, too. That's not how they take it. And that is the real worry here. It's not that Donald Trump wants to start a nuclear war at all. The issue here is, do they take it the wrong way?
And I think it is so unbelievably irresponsible for people who know that that's not what Donald Trump was talking about. He was not talking about unleashing nuclear war. If he was, then I'm sorry, gang. He's nuts. No president wants to unleash a nuclear war. It would go horribly for a million different reasons. Bad idea. That's not what he was talking about. And to have the press goad him and to be saying, well, we really don't have any credibility at all. When you accepted it from Obama, when it shouldn't have been accepted because that was an easy win. This one's millions dead. And you're saying he has to act now? No, we don't. No, we don't. Let me tell you a story about Rick. Rick had a dad who was 91 years old and ready to finally give up his house and live in an assisted living home. So Rick and his family had the task of selling their dad's house. Rick went to realestateagentsitrust.com. His agent was Aaron. And Aaron took that stressful situation and made it really easy for Rick and his family. Everything from helping clean the house to coordinating repairs for the house. Aaron's team was top notch. They got in, fixed the house, got it ready to be sold, and sold dad's house. realestateagentsitrust.com. You want to find a great real estate agent who is actually working with you and can sell your house on time and for the most amount of money? Thousands of families have already put Real Estate Agents I Trust to the test, and they have sold their house or they have bought a new house, all through the great people at realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now. realestateagentsitrust.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, would I survive a nuke.com? yeah, most likely. You would survive a nuclear attack on the United States. If they sent, you know, five nukes over to the United States, it would be horrible, but most people would survive. What the worst case scenario is that they detonate these at high altitude and it acts as, its biggest effect is the EMP. You do that with three nukes over the United States in strategic locations, and we have no electricity, we have no power, we have no computers, we have nothing. And 90% of the population dies in the first year. Nukes are not your worry here. It's if they can detonate them and use them as an EMP. But we survived the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. Relax.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Hello and welcome to the program. So glad that you're here today. Lots to talk about, a lot of news to cover, a lot of ground to cover from here to Seoul, South Korea. Korea. We begin right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Glad you're here. Last night, I came home and I turned on the news and I was so exhausted. It was 8 o'clock last night. I was so exhausted. I just laid down on my bed and my son came in and he laid down next to me. And he was talking to me about the car chase videos that he had seen. These amazing car chase videos where, you know, the police are chasing these guys. They're so stupid. And dad, how could they possibly think they're going to get away? And I was less than a great dad last night. I was so tired and the news was on. And he told me about a few of the car chases. And I think he could tell that I was distracted. And he just paused and he then just kind of looked at the news and he said, "What's happening, Dad?" Now, they were talking about everything that was going on with North Korea. I said, "I'm not sure, son." Not lying to him, but I didn't need to fill him with my fears. I said, "I don't know, but you know, the world has seen this kind of stuff before. The Cuban Missile Crisis was the last time we saw something really like this, perhaps. And we backed away from the brink. Thanks to X-Men, I didn't have to explain the Cuban Missile Crisis to him. He had seen that in the movies. I'm not so sure this time that we are the people or that even the press is behaving the same. Oh, last night, it felt almost as if the press was egging the president on, just egging him on. Come on, come on. You're not going to have any credibility unless you back it up. Gee, Mr. President, you can't just say things like that. I never heard that during the Obama administration. And maybe it was just me. Maybe this was not what was being said, but this is what I heard last night, that we are entering a position to where we have to go to war. We have to do something now, or we have no credibility. No, you know, perhaps we don't have to do anything except the right thing. Because of our credibility? What credibility do we have, for the love of Pete? I was watching it last night, and I saw Kim Jong-un. He's not crazy. Today, we're going to do some facts at 5 o'clock that I did a whole chalkboard, a whole entire episode on Kim Jong-un, which that you need to understand. He's not a crazy guy. He's not. You think he is, but he's not. He's actually quite measured. He is in his own country, if you understand who he's speaking to, who his audience is. He's ruthless. He is evil, but he's not crazy. But one thing he can't do is back down. He cannot look like he is under the thumb of the United States, or he will lose power. So I was watching this last night. What was going through my head was, why are they so far ahead of the estimates? Where is that coming from? How are we that bad at intelligence in North Korea? And if so, could it also be that they don't have working nuclear weapons that are, you know, able to go on the ICBM? Is that possible? Yeah. So what kind of faulty information could we be operating under? And I'm not one to bury my head in the sand. How will we know what's good information and what's not? And how are they so far ahead? Is Russia or Iran helping them? Is anyone else involved in this? Personally, I'm a big fan of our president making promises and then keeping them. I was a big fan of what he did in Syria. However, we're way over that self-imposed red line. We've been over that red line that we put out there, you know, months ago. We've crossed that line. Let's stop ratcheting up the rhetoric because we have to. No, 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 we don't. Perhaps this is a time to say, hey, it looks like all of the past presidents have failed on North Korea. That the world has failed on North Korea. And the time to act on a rogue state is before they have nuclear weapons. Most Americans don't begin to even understand what war with North Korea even really means. And let me tell you really clearly, it could mean the end of the Western way of life. It could mean millions of dead. Unlike anything we've seen since World War II, millions of dead. The collapse of the Western economies, and perhaps nukes used on Japan, Guam, Los Angeles, all from North Korea, and us using most likely tactical nukes. We've missed the opportunity. The world did nothing. Former presidents have failed. because they've appeased or ignored, or we're in a dream world. Let's not blame this president for the mistakes of the past presidents, and let's not encourage this president to act hastily. How long before Iran has nukes? I don't know if Kim Jong-un will use nukes, but I am really pretty clear that anybody who is saying that the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, who is the promised one from their, you know, religious scripture, that is going to come and bring fire and death and wash the world in blood and fire, any president of the Supreme Council now in Iran who is coming out and making statement day after day, the Mahdi is here, he has arrived, he's walking among us, and soon that day will come, and they believe in their religion that that is a good thing, those guys will use nukes. What are we doing on that one? The media never paid attention to that. They won't pay attention. I could say that till I'm blue in the face. They wouldn't pay attention to the caliphate. Oh, that's just talk. Really? Was it just talk? Was it? Huh? And so you lectured me about how you can't take people at their word. And yet last night, all I saw on television was the excoriation of the president and how we have to take him at his word. When everybody in America knows he did not mean we're going to rain nukes down on North Korea. At least everybody in America knows that. The rest of the world doesn't. North Korea doesn't. It was a huge mistake. But for you to hold him to his language and say how important language is when you're a leader of a state, but then never to have held North Korea or Iran to their language, when you've never held the PLO to their language, the Muslim Brotherhood to their language, please don't start with me. I didn't tell my son any of these things last night. He fell asleep next to me holding my hand. He was not afraid. He was not worried. He wasn't thinking about any of the things that were going through my head. And as I watched television, I remembered I was his age when I was worried about missiles flying over the polar cap, that I knew 18 minutes from the Soviet Union to Seattle, 30 minutes tops, the only warning you would have. I grew up in the Cold War. Anybody who's my age knows and is not looking forward to going back to a world where you and your children are afraid of things like that. I watched in my head those scenes that I could vividly remember of Jason Robards in the movie The Day After. And now that I'm older, I realize that that came out in 1983. Why? Because Ronald Reagan was calling them the evil empire and talking tough, and the Democrats didn't want to talk tough on the communist nation and the Soviet Union. They thought that was the fastest way to nuclear annihilation. They have been proven wrong. But now, knowing what I know as an adult, that movie was not to tell the American people anything other than your president is evil. A loud commercial came on and brought me out of that memory and back to where I was, laying side by side over the blankets, horizontally across my bed with my son, watching the news of the day. And as I came back in, I realized he hadn't been holding my hand. I had been holding his. Back in a minute. First this. Right now you can save more than $500 on Liberty's top of the line safe, the Presidential, or a whopping $260 on America's number one big gun safe, the Fatboy Junior Extreme. These gun safes are the best. I have them at home for my guns. It is what Mercury One and Mercury use for our artifacts. I mean, we have anything from the, you know, golden slippers, or I mean the ruby slippers to, I don't think we've even talked about Darth Vader's mask. Have we announced that we have Darth Vader's mask? We bought at auction recently the mask from A New Hope of Darth Vader sitting in a Liberty safe. You want to make sure that things are safe? Liberty will keep it safe. Liberty safe right now until August 21st. You can buy a Liberty safe with 12 months interest-free payments, zero down and zero APR. They even offer Liberty safes for as low as $20 a month. Do what I did. Have it installed in your home. Now with 12 months interest-free payments or as low as $20 a month on approved credit. If you act now, these savings will be there, but they go away August 21st. Save over $500 plus get 12 months interest-free. LibertySafe.com, the home of the best-built safes on the planet. It's LibertySafe.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I'm probably sitting in the most macabre room I may have ever sat in. Today, the boys are...
I hate to divulge this because it's going to be under siege now, and we won't get our estimates.
Right. So, Pat and Stu are looking at, is it Nuke Map?
Yes.
Yeah, nuclearsecrecy.com/nukemap.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about, you know, the nuclear weapons because the rhetoric... obviously between Trump and Kim Jong-un lately. And so we were looking at these nuclear maps wondering, okay, well, what would that do to Seoul, South Korea? And then you can go to any city, really, anywhere, and put in the figures, like how high a yield is the nuclear bomb dropped on whatever city? And it shows you how many estimated fatalities.
So let's do Los Angeles. And can you do 20 kiloton? Because that's right in the middle. They believe that North Korea has between 10 and 30 kiloton missiles.
So
let's look at... They're actually both in the presets here, Pat.
20?
20. So 20 is the Trinity test, and also the Nagasaki bomb was 20 kilotons.
Okay, so let's drop that over Los
Angeles.
Which,
by the way, it's the anniversary of the Nagasaki...
72 years.
...bombing mm-hmm. today.
Let's hope that the state of North Korea, which loves anniversaries, kind of forgets that one for a second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
we're having issues with the site, and that's
because Pat mentioned.
No, we shouldn't have mentioned what it was.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. How about that? I don't have to wait for the calculations to say it would not be positive.
Is it just slowed down because now everybody's on it?
Yeah. It's
not. Well, we just did New York
Everybody
City.
Get off it for a second.
I just did New York and 100, but I did the biggest bomb.
Okay.
And it was 8 million dead immediately.
Okay, so is this the nuke map? Is this Los Angeles over here?
I got one in Los Angeles here. It's working. So nuke map. Now remember, a Nagasaki bomb is a tiny one. If you dropped it in the center of Los Angeles, you would get 107,310 estimated fatalities, 152,140 estimated injuries.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That's terrible.
It's pretty bad. Pretty bad day.
Compared to millions?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I remember when we moved to New York, and remember we were still talking about nuclear weapons being used by terrorists, et cetera, et cetera. And remember, Stu, we talked to that expert on nuclear attack, and he said the biggest shock of a nuclear attack will be that most everybody you know survived. And he said, you know, whether you want to is a different story, he said, but most people will survive and unless it's, you know, something like Russia and, you know, thousands of missiles coming over the poles. But a nuclear bomb, You know, we were working at, how many blocks away is Columbus Circle from Times Square? 20? New York City blocks? 15, 20? He said if it was down on the south side of, of Times Square, and he said, you're up by Central Park. He said, you know, you're in a safe building. You're in a good, he said, you're shielded. You're not going to be swept up in the vapor. That was a small nuke brought in. I think it was a suitcase nuke brought in by a terrorist. But
yeah,
you actually survive these.
Yeah, it's you know, obviously what happens in the after effects with the economy and, you know, civilization and the infrastructure and all of those things is a whole nother story. You're right. You can survive one, bombs of this size. It's crazy, though. The largest bomb the U.S. ever tested was 15 megatons. 15. The largest the Soviet Union ever tested was 50. More than three times the size of the largest we ever tested. And they actually designed one that was 100 megatons, which is obviously double the size of the Tsar Bomba, which they there's video of it. You can actually see that thing. You want to go to YouTube, you can actually see that thing going off the test of Tsar Bomba, which is gigantic. And they just put it on some random plot of land where no one was, obviously, as a test. I mean, Nagasaki is about what they have, supposedly.
So I just put in Seoul, South Korea. I put a 30-kiloton bomb in.
Mm-hmm.
The fireball radius is 240 meters. Now, you would think...
What does that mean in American?
It's 0.13 kilometers is what you're thinking, looking for.
I still don't... I don't understand.
Seoul, you would think that, you know, what is that? About 1,000 feet, right? Fireball, 1,000 feet.
Less than that.
I don't speak metric.
Yeah, I don't either. But you'd think that a ICBM coming in and hitting ground, you'd think the fireball would be bigger than 240 meters. However,
that's a really big area.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it very well may be. I don't know.
It's not.
We just don't know. No one knows.
No,
we
do know.
And
in those 240 meters, it is 7,000 degrees. So,
that's warm.
It's warm there. Yeah.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
On Monday, married mother of two in Michigan who had sex with two boys, one 14 and one 15. They were lured into sex with her. She sent naked pictures on Snapchat. She's 38 years old. She was sending the boys pictures of herself in a bathtub and performing sex acts. She would go to the boys' house and drive up into their parking lot after 1 a.m., between 1 and 4, and the boys would sneak out, and they would have sex with this 38-year-old woman in the car. Michigan State Police said they started conversing and exchanging nude photographs while they were still in middle school. 38 years old, she said at her sentencing, "This has been the biggest regret of my life." You think? "My family means everything to me, and I've caused them a great deal of pain for these regretful choices that I have made."
Oh, clearly her family means everything to her.
Yeah.
I mean, she did that without saying, didn't it?
That's having a really hard time with this.
Uh, It's pretty clear, man. Her husband and children were uppermost in her mind.
Well, I think it's true. She was trying to expand the family.
Right.
She loved the family so much, she was doing the act that expands
it. The biggest mistake of her life was getting caught.
Mm. Hey, who doesn't as a son like to have the most popular mom in school? You know, you like hearing that your mom is cool. She's the, you know, your mom is great. I wish I had a mom like that. And you define maybe having a mom like that in a different way than perhaps she is defining that.
I think so, yeah.
So the mother of one of the victims said, "You made a conscious effort on several occasions to make arrangements to meet my son, sneak out of your house, start your car, leave your husband and children at your home, and drive to my son's father's house, back in the driveway between midnight and 4 a.m. and wait for my son to run into the driveway, commit a crime, and leave. Did you know this was wrong? Did you ever worry that you were doing harm to my son?" Mom said, "The guys at school now pick on him. They say it's cool that he had sex with a mom. My son shared with me that the guys at school have no idea what he's going through."
They pick on him by saying it was cool?
She said the guys at school now pick on him, and others say that it's, you know, cool. So he's, you know, trapped in this world of a 38. If this was a guy that was doing this to, you know, 15-year-old women, the country would be on fire.
Sure.
On fire.
Yeah.
Definitely double standard on this one. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, is that right? I don't know.
Is that right?
Well, of course. No. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it is. Like, I, you know.
Maybe it is.
I'm a proud sexist here.
You have no idea. You may want to rethink your thinking
I think maybe it is. Maybe
we know you're with him. Wait a minute. There's another thing that goes
leaning towards the Jeffy side. You must know that you're wrong here.
Right. This is not a good step in my life. I'm obviously developing really the wrong way. But I mean, I think there is a.
But we do have that bias, don't we?
Sure. I think it's because
what you're thinking is that, you know, the kids were, they, that was the greatest thing that ever happened to them, right? That's your thinking. Now, if those were girls, you would not be thinking
that way
that.
At all.
Can I tell you something?
It is sexism, but it's...
It is.
Look at how hard wrong. We all work to keep our children moral, to keep them on the right track, to try our best to help them through. And then when they turn 18... You know, their life is their life, and they're going to make their mistakes and make their choices, whatever. But to protect them as long as we possibly can. You know, you send your kids to school, and you know they're going to fall in with the wrong crowd, or they could fall in with the wrong crowd. They could be doing things that, you know, your parents never knew what you were doing. Why do you think it's different with you? But you try to have a 38-year-old adult come and pray on your children is beyond understanding.
Yeah, and this is an extreme case as to what age this went on. It was very early. Usually these things typically are like high school situations. And they're still wrong, obviously. I think there's an issue where, for example, I just saw this stat yesterday. The world record 100 meter from a female is slower than the best time for a high school boy in the last year. So the world all-time world record for a female is slower than the best time for in high school this year for guys. And so there's a physical level here of victim versus predator, where a male who is stronger, and I know these things don't happen, and we're not allowed to say these things anymore, but there's differences. Yeah, don't hire me at Google. There are differences between men and women. And I think when you see a man go after a younger woman, you know, in high school, you think predator to victim, where the male in this particular case likely was much stronger than the woman. It doesn't feel as physically, it's manipulative mentally, and it's a physical act, but it's not a forceful act. So we categorize it differently. That's obviously not right, because both acts are completely.
It's not a forceful act. Look at the girls that are with R. Kelly right now.
This is a bizarre story. Did we talk about that at all?
I don't know if we have. So with R. Kelly, and they are staying, where is this, in Atlanta? And they're, I mean, have you seen the interviews? They're supposedly totally free to leave.
Getting help with their career.
Right. And so R's got all of these women that are that have really truly been brainwashed. I mean, if you watch the interviews with these girls, they have absolutely, I mean, are you free to leave here? Well, I don't feel comfortable talking about that now. Okay. Are you free to talk about R and, you know, maybe the things that you guys are doing? No, I'm not. But I, you know, I just love him. I just love him. I mean, it's creepy stuff.
And R is obviously not his first name.
That's what I like to call him. His friends call him R. His friends call him R.
And you're friends with really? His dirtbag?
I don't think so.
He's been in some really questionable situations for a long time. I mean, at least 20 years, right? Mm-hmm.
This is the most bizarre, surreal conversation I have had.
So weird. He's a dirtbag from way back.
Yes.
And continues to get away with it.
Hang on. These girls are all of age. Yeah. They're all of age. Yeah. So who are you to say? Who are you to judge?
That he started a sex cult? I'm Pat.
But, I mean, that is a different story. It is interesting in that, you know, in 2002, he had the underage girl sex tape, which is a, you know, that's a, you're in criminal area here. Mm-hmm. If you have underage girls and you're living with a bunch of them, there's nothing criminal about that unless you decide to marry them. Because that law, that sort of love is not allowed. We all know all love is equal and all love is allowed, but not that sort of love. Right. If you have married multiple people, then that is not allowed. However, R. Kelly living with them and having sex with all of them is completely allowed. We want to make sure we understand it's the level of commitment that is illegal. That's the problem
here. If
you're
more committed, you can't. It's not legal. Sorry.
If you're super duper into it and you actually sign legal documents, wow, that's terrible. But if you're just doing it on the side and you can, you know, whatever you feel like, jump in and out of every relationship, totally fine. I want to make sure we all understand love is equal, except the loves that aren't equal. I always find that argument to be fascinating. I'm sorry.
No, I remember being told, you know, that idea of slippery slope would never happen. Mm-hmm. It's only a matter of time. And the only reason why it hasn't happened is because
they don't have as good a
PR firm. They don't have a PR firm. That's it. If polygamists had a PR firm, and they were on the left, absolutely they'd be arguing for it. I mean,
if it wasn't tied to religion, they'd probably already be. It'd be legal now.
Yeah. And may I say crazy religion?
Yes.
Yes.
You may say that.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm not sure what's crazy anymore. I'm not sure where anybody stands anymore.
No, they don't stand anywhere. That's kind of the problem.
Do you see the Google guy that was fired yesterday? Did you see he was offered a job?
From who?
WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks. No thanks. Yeah, he's not going to want that, right?
I think he can do better.
I think he can do a lot better. He can do a lot better. Now this, Simply Safe, domino effect. You go on vacation, you spend your day away at the beach. It's great, except your home is empty. Burglar sees the signs you're not home. They see no cars in the driveway, no lights on inside. Open invitation to break in. Simply Safe Home Security extended their biggest ever summer sale until August 13th. Now, that's $100 off the Simply Safe summer package. It has everything that you need that will keep your home safe from intruders. It has the round-of-clock monitoring that's $15 a month. You install it. There's no wiring. There's nobody to upsell you. You keep it. You own it. No long-term contract. Nothing to lock you in. It's protection done the right way. Don't miss out. Sale ends August 13th. SimplySafeBeck.com. Save $100 today. Their biggest summer sale ever. SimplySafeBeck.com. $100 off. SimplySafeBeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, I am just, I'm...
It's a very serious, terrible story.
Yes, it is.
Serious,
yes,
terrible
it is.
Story. And to hear you pigs talk about
it. Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
It.
You're just being, you know, you're being every PC
person. No, I'm not.
Person. Yes,
no,
you
I'm
are.
Not.
Yes,
no,
you
I am
it's
not.
It's so obvious.
A 38-year-old woman having mm-hmm. sex
it
with a 15-year-old
boy. That.
It's
all
wrong.
Said that.
But as when we went into the break.
It's wrong.
I know that. When we went into the break. We start talking about it, and you're like, but you know those guys.
Well, you know the 15-year-old boys are into it. Come on.
When you were 15?
You don't necessarily know
for life. I
no,
doubt it.
No.
You don't know the effects of what that is going to do and play in their head.
I can guess the effects,
rest of
I'll tell you that.
I can't tell you. No, I can't not, believe you guys.
Look, no, what do you mean you can't believe us? All I'm saying is it's a terrible thing. It's a crime.
It
right?
is.
Absolutely,
yes.
100%.
It should be.
Is it a good idea?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
It's terrible. However.
Deeply
the,
scarring.
I don't know. I mean, I think
15-year-old boy having sex.
Now, again, we also said this was an extreme case, and we started discussing a yes. different case, which
yeah,
was
there's
a 24-year-old
24-year-old teacher, a girl, 24-year-old having sex, 17-year-old, at least... There's two things to that. At least the ages are close, and they are closer to 18, you know, so, I mean, they know better, and they're making yes. their own choice.
All that matters is that younger age, and it's the difference right. between 14 and 17 is big, undoubtedly.
Well, they're 15, though, right? They were 15-year-old boys.
Sorry. When it started.
15-year-old right. mm-hmm. boy, were you smart at 15? Were
no.
you?
But you're saying is it?
I would not
I,
have been
I knew the difference between right and wrong.
Oh
at
yeah, of course you did.
Absolutely.
Of course you did.
So,
but did you make the right decisions and everything that you did? And especially if someone
some things,
was playing
yeah.
on, if somebody was preying on you. I mean, a 38-year-old person preying on you.
This is the issue here, right?
Right?
If they are pursuing it, are they being preyed upon? My answer to that would be probably yes, because they're not capable of making that decision, right? That's where, how I would answer it. However, they would not answer it that way.
No, they would
right?
not.
Right? So is it emotionally scarred? Like, for example, a 15-year-old very well could be in high school, right? Are they attempting to have sex themselves with other students, right? The answer to that is maybe not,
probably,
but maybe.
That changes probably, right? your entire world. It changes your point of view. It changes the relationship that you have with your parents. It you have become you have literally become an adult with the help of another adult. You are now in a relationship that comes out mm-hmm. and you were in an illegal relationship. You might have liked it all you wanted to, but I guarantee once it comes out, your relationship has changed forever with your parents and with everyone else. Changed forever. That is deeply scarring. It may not be at 15, but I'm telling you, that spiritual yeah. wound is deep.
This is why
it will affect those people.
It is a crime and should remain a crime, right? Like, so 100% agree with you on that. It's very bad. I do separate it, I think, from, in some ways, in a nuanced way. Be with men and women, and I think that probably is largely sexism. I should probably treat them the same way in my head. But I mean, as a guy, like to me, complete. And it comes from being a guy, right? You're in high school. I had a hot teacher in high school. Every kid in high school talked about her and how hot she was, right? And we all talked about it, and all thought about it, and all you know that was part of life, right? Mm-hmm. The opposite is I, as a guy, think of as a guy what I would do. Think of the act of going to a high school or pulling into a 14-year-old's driveway and doing these terrible things. It's a completely different thing in my mind. When I was in high school, in that position, we all talked about that. It's a totally different thing. We don't all talk about, hey, let's go pick up some 14-year-olds in a driveway. And I think because of that mental difference as a guy, I think I do separate those two things. And it probably is sexist. I would say women probably are the same way. I remember girls in my high school thinking there was another hot teacher and how they talked about that. They probably thought the exact same thing and probably think it's just as creepy to go back to a 14-year-old in a driveway now. Again, this is a criminal act and it should remain one. But to me, I don't know. Maybe I'm being sexist. There are some differences there.
I'm going to keep what I have inside of me.
That's probably what we should have been doing for the last half an hour.
No, I just have a different perspective on this, and at appropriate time, possibly, we'll pick this up again and share it. Right now, we're out of time. Back in just a second.
Do you travel for business? Do you waste your time pricing your flights and your hotels at the typical sites that you go to, and then you got to go back to them and check and compare?
Yes.
And it's impossible. Oh, that process is agonizing. Until Upside.com. That's the only site you need now. Quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big name hotels you want to stay at. Which is great here is they're going to bundle these together, so you're going to save money. Then they're going to give you options if you want them. Hey, do you want to leave an hour later or an hour earlier? You can save some money on that flight. And in addition to that, they're going to give you a gift card, which is fantastic because you're getting free stuff out of this deal and you're going to save money. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use promo code BECK, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card on your package purchase. That's code BECK to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. It's Upside.com.
So everybody around the office today, everybody on TV, certainly going to be talking about North Korea. But they're leaving out some really big stuff. They'll be talking about, you know, what did Donald Trump say yesterday and how is he threatening them? And, you know, Kim Jong-il, they'll say this all the time. Kim Jong-un is, he's crazy. No, I don't think he is. Maybe evil, but not crazy. And the people in North Korea are not evil. They just have absolutely no idea what's really going on in the world. This is a closed society. The compassion that we have for the people of North Korea who are completely misguided. How could anyone think they could win against the United States? It's probably not that hard to believe once you understand what they've been taught and what they believe even about their own leaders. We're going to go inside of North Korea, introduce you to the people and what they really believe is going on in the world. We do that beginning right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Michael Malice is a guy who went behind the Iron Curtain. It's a very closed country. And he left there and he wrote a book called Dear Reader, the unauthorized biography of Kim Jong-il. Michael, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Oh, it's a great honor, Glenn.
Thank you. So, first of all, tell me what got you to go to North Korea? I mean, you stalking Dennis Rodman or?
Well, here's the thing, and something you kind of touched upon. It was bothering me a lot how so much of the press about North Korea is complete misinformation. And I said, I'm going to do something about this once and for all. Now, I was born in the Soviet Union. I'm Jewish. These were two chances for my family to have been sent to a concentration camp. And there's concentration camps in North Korea right now. You know, people ask, how did we let the Holocaust happen? They have the camps right now. You can see the camps on Google Earth. And yet so many of these news reports want to look at North Korea and be like, aren't these people all silly? It's like, yeah, these are 25 million hostages. If the government had a gun to your head, and the heads of your children, you'd be doing pretty silly things too. So that's why I wrote my book, Dear Reader, so that people can understand exactly what's going on there, because it's not at all how it's portrayed in the press.
So I would like to get into the concentration camps with you, because people don't understand that it's not your sentence. It's they sentence you and your family for three generations. I mean, it's evil and crazy what is happening there. Most people in the West can't even begin to understand it. But can we go back and try to explain and tell us some stories that you saw firsthand on how the North Koreans are so isolated that they have really no concept of what's really going on in the world, and they think that they can beat the United States?
Well, they're not completely isolated because the barriers, thankfully, have been breaking down a little. However, to your question, this did not happen overnight.
Yeah.
This was a 70-year methodical process by this gangster family, and step by step, they built up barriers to separate North Korea from the rest of the world. Things like anyone who spoke other languages or who studied abroad were sent to the concentration camps. Things like books in other languages being destroyed and no longer being allowed to be taught. Let me give you an example of the mechanisms that they use to control their population. And again, it's things we can't even wrap our heads around here. Everyone in North Korea is slotted into some group, your school, your office, your neighborhood. And once a week, that group gets together and you have to stand up in front of your peers and say, this is what I did wrong this week. And then your peers have to stand up and say what they noticed you doing wrong.
Oh my gosh.
So everyone is watching each other all the time and reporting on each other all the time. So a lot of times people are like, well, why don't they just get together and overthrow the government? If you have two people conspiring, they're done. And as you said, the founder of North Korea, the great leader Kim Il-sung, said class enemies must be exterminated to three generations. So they take three generations of the family, and even Stalin had trials. There's no trials. You get a knock at the door in the middle of the night, the family gets taken, and you don't even know which one of you got you sent to the camps or to the countryside. They don't tell you. It's just come with me.
Can we go back? Can we go back to the Korean War and how they're viewing America? We had the Korean War and it became a TV show called MASH, and that's it. For them, they have been preparing for this time since the 1950s.
Right. So according to one of their books and according to their worldview, by the way, you can't refer to us as Americans. We are always referred to by a slur like the U.S. imperialists, and it's just how the language is taught there. So automatically when they're talking about us, they're using offensive terminology. There's a book in North Korea called The U.S. Imperialists Started the Korean War. They are taught that we started the Korean War, that we've been waiting to conquer Korea since the 1860s, when USS General Sherman went to Pyongyang. That part is true. We did visit them back in the 1860s. And now we've been biding our time to come back and finish the job that we started. Now, many of your listeners are veterans. The Korean War was completely devastating to the Korean Peninsula. You had China, Russia, and North Korea at the north, South Korea, US, and the UN in the south. And between the two, the devastation was complete. So their whole point is, you remember how bad it was in the 50s. Well, any day now, the Americans are going to come back and finish that job. And but for the leader, you would all be dead.
And when you say but for the leader, what's remarkable is the calendar has been reset. It's the year what?
So the calendar starts. Again, they're not going to have a Christian calendar because having a Bible is the death penalty, right? So you're not going to have BC and AD. So their calendar starts with the birth of the great leader Kim Il-sung in 1912. So that's year one.
Okay, so and he was, I remember one of the Kim family was brought down, you know, by angels or birds and crazy kind of stuff that he remembers the day of his birth. Do they believe this?
There is a lot. It's very funny because they claim to be an atheist country, but there's all sorts of supernaturalism that revolves around the Kim family. So Kim Il-sung, the great leader, the founder of North Korea, he had missionaries in his family. And he adopted a lot of Christian mythology and applied it to his life and the life of his son and his wife. So they have a holy trinity, which is the great leader Kim Il-sung, who is the founder of North Korea, and Kim Jong-un's uncle. We have Kim Jong-il, who is the dear leader. He's their Jesus figure. And Kim Jong-il's mother, who's always referred to as anti-Japanese heroine, Kim Jong-suk. They always picture her with a gun in her hand. So this is the holy trinity that keeps Korea safe. And they have Mount Paektu at the north, which is basically like their Mount Zion, which is the spirit of Korea and basically the embodiment of the Korean energy. So they have a lot of mystical stories about this family. And basically, like Kim, but for Kim Il-sung, you know, who's almost a messiah figure, Korea would still be under the boot of Japan.
So when the UN passed these really tough sanctions, I'm for the sanctions. I don't know what else to do. Going in with military is just is almost a, and maybe an act of insanity.
Right.
But, you know, when you see the sanctions, the people have no idea that their leaders are the ones that are starving them and choking them to death. And this will only be blamed on us, and it will only make their lives worse. How do you break that in that culture? How is there, is it even possible to get people to understand, no, it's your leader is evil?
Well, it started happening on a micro level. You remember towards the end of the Cold War, despite decades of communist propaganda, what happened is Russian people were watching American soap operas on television, and they were thinking to themselves, it's all well and good what I'm taught in school, but why does the maid on this television show have a fur coat, and I'm literally wiping my butt with newspaper? You know, I don't care about Marx, whatever. I just want food for my kids.
Right.
And in North Korea, the same thing is happening. They are seeing that all these other countries are wealthier than them. It doesn't matter what you teach me in school. I want my kids to have food. It's as simple as that. So one of the things that has happened is they've changed their propaganda from we are wealthy and the world envies us. And now the propaganda says we are keeping Korea pure. So it is also the most homogenous and most racist country on earth. This is something that's not talked about in the press, that they believe that Korea is the only country that has been racially pure since Neolithic times. And they regard the South as a region under U.S. occupation where we basically assault Southern Korean women, Americans do, and do with them as we please, us we being barbarians. So that's another aspect of their propaganda.
So looking at what you know about North Korea and hearing the president yesterday,
yes,
how was that interpreted by Kim Jong-un and the people around him?
I would honestly say it's going to be interpreted with a bit of respect, and here's why.
Oh, good.
They are bullies, right? So let me, when they talk about we know how to treat America, in their words, they say, when necessary, we'll slap her across the face. And, you know, I remember last year, a year and a half ago, there was this photo released of Kim Jong-un in front of his Apple computer, and there were nukes striking Austin. And the things that they get away with saying are just completely outrageous. So Trump was basically using their language against them. So on some level, they're going to have a bit of respect for it. Just like anyone who runs his mouth, at a certain point, you have to get in his face. Now, I'm not saying you have to get in his face and actually shove him. But on some level, they're like, okay, this is going to be a difference in tone, at least, from previous administrations.
So where is he? Where does he go from here? I mean, he has killed, you know, everybody in his family that could have challenged him. He's done it openly. He's killed everybody around him that could challenge him.
He's only killed one person. And actually, so let's talk about how evil this family is. Kim Jong-un's aunt, Kim Hyung-wi, Kim Jong-il's sister, that was her husband who was killed. And she is such an evil woman that when her daughter married someone who was below their social station, she drove her daughter to suicide.
Wow.
Didn't he have both his uncle and his brother killed in the the guy in the airport, right? Which one was that? Wasn't that his brother? Right,
yeah. And then
then supposedly he had his uncle torn apart by dogs.
Yeah, I thought he had somebody else killed by standing them in front of a cannon and blowing a hole through.
are these right? Urban legends, yeah. Or did that actually
happen?
Is that
the way he is, Michael?
No,
we've lost Michael. Okay, so get him back on the phone. Let me take a quick break.
Fascinating. I guess we'll never know.
Having somebody, I can't wait to also talk to him about his experience in the former Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, really he'll be back in just a second. First, our sponsor this half hour is Goldline. What would the opening salvos of war with North Korea bring? Thousands dead. Some say that a million plus could be dead within the first 24 hours. The region surrounding North Korea has become the world's industrial powerhouse. It is, you know, some of the biggest economies in the world are there and would be affected immediately, which would wreak havoc on not only the human scale and human life over there, but also, I believe, the rest of the Western world.
Yeah, you have South Korea, who's 11th largest, and you have China, the second largest.
And you have Japan, which is what, the fifth largest, fourth largest?
In there somewhere.
I mean, it's all affected. And I would just suggest that you do your homework now. I hope this is not going to be what the experts are starting to say it's going to be this fall. But a lot of people now, and it actually gives me some comfort because these clowns are usually wrong. But a lot of people are saying real trouble with the economy is on the horizon. Please find out if gold or silver is right for you. You have your money in a 401k or an IRA. Consider moving some of that money, some of it, 10% into gold, physical gold that you can hold. Call now for as little as $2,500. You will get 3 months of price protection all the way up to a year for a $25,000 investment. But make sure you read all their information. They're waiting for your call right now at 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. We
are one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. 888-727-BACK.
This is
The Glenn Beck Program.
Talking to Michael Malice. He is a guy who went over to North Korea, wrote a book called Dear Reader, saw behind the curtain, if you will. He's also a former citizen of the Soviet Union, so he has seen it from both sides. We were just talking to you, Michael, and we lost our connection about, you know, we have heard that he killed his brother and his uncle, and then a lot of the people around him who could have challenged him, he has taken out and done horrible things to. True or false?
That's okay. So the last part is false because there's no one around him who could have challenged him, because the point is it's only a descendant of the great leader Kim Il-sung who could be in the leadership position. So the people at the very top there, it's not like they were voted in. They're only at the very top specifically because of their loyalty to the regime. In fact, unless you're loyal to the regime, you're not allowed to even step foot in Pyongyang. You are geographically assigned where to live in North Korea based on how loyal you and your family have been to the regime. So that's number one. So he killed his elder half-brother, who they only met once, I believe, because, again, only a descendant of Kim Il-sung can be the leader. So if your brother is killed, there's no plan B for you for if Kim Jong-un's taken out. There's not a Mike Pence sitting in the wings. And lastly, one of the things that I was when writing Dear Reader is the sensationalism. We tend to believe the craziest possible stories about North Korea. And South Korean media reported that his uncle, technically his aunt's husband, was eaten by dogs. That's not true. He was shot, but he was killed, and with her agreement.
So then, you know, we keep hearing that he feels backed into a corner. Who is he backed in a corner by if there's nobody to take his place?
Well, there's increasing pressure from America. There's increasing pressure from China. And what would happen is when you remember possibly Romania, when Ceausescu, the evil dictator of Romania for decades, when he was there was a moment, and it's a very beautiful moment for everyone who loves freedom, when this horrible dictator was on TV, and for the first time the crowd starts booing, and you see the look on his face, and two or three days later, him and his wife were shot. Kim Jong-il took that video and showed it to all the leading party cadres and said, if the masses rise up, this is what is going to happen to us. So when these regimes go down, the people at the very top, like Gaddafi, like Hussein, are personally killed, and with good reason. So that's another very important incentive for Kim Jong-un to do anything he can to stay in power. It's not like if he's removed from power, he's going to, you know, retire to Saint-Tropez. I mean, this man is a monster.
So I've only got about 30 seconds here. So perhaps I ask it and then we come back on the other side, because I really want to know also about, you know, the former Soviet Union and your life there.
But I
guess what I would like to know, and I don't know if you could answer this. So is he likely to just kind of be quiet and allow himself to be put into a box? Is he the type that will fire off a missile because he's a god?
He's the type who's taught and believes you fight fire with twice as much fire and escalate whenever possible, especially when you're the small dog.
Okay, so what that means exactly when we come back. You can find Michael at michaelmalice.com.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Michael Malice, he is an author and commentator. He's an expert on North Korea, traveled to that very closed country, wrote a book called Dear Reader, the unauthorized autobiography of Kim Jong-il. You just said to me, Michael, that Kim Jong-un is a guy who believes if you're hit, you hit back twice as hard, you don't back down. And as you're describing the traits of Kim Jong-un, you're also describing our president.
To some extent. You remember during the campaign, Trump did apologize for that audio that got out. And I don't think President Trump would be comfortable starving 10% of the population.
Oh, no. I don't mean it that way. No. I don't mean it that I do not mean to equate the two of them. I mean, just far as tactics. I last night I thought the press was crazy last night.
Yeah.
They were almost saying, you know, we got to have war because, Mr. President, now you're not going to have any credibility. You can't back down. It was crazy.
Glenn, it was terrifying that they're basically saying, first of all, the idea if North Korea is going to attack us that they're going to go after Guam is insane on its face. They're going to have one shot. They're going to make it count, to be totally, you know, Machiavellian about it. But let's get some perspective. For decades, we had hundreds, if not thousands, of nuclear weapons from the Soviet Union pointed at us and our allies. And that was something that we managed to deal with. So this situation is not entirely without precedent.
Okay,
take a deep breath, you know.
So my position today has been pretty much that. Take a deep breath. There is no good answer to this. The thing to do is walk away, keep your eye and ear to the ground, but just walk. There's no good answer to this. Is that enough for Kim Jong-un?
Well, it's scary to me how so many people are saying that because Kim Jong-un is treating our country and our president with disrespect, that I saw one commentator say we should rain hellfire on North Korea. I mean, these are 25 million. You want to talk about having the moral high ground, being the moral leader of the free world, and you're going to be killing 25 million slaves and hostages? What kind of person are you that not only that, what kind of person are you that's your first reaction as opposed to a last resort? It's terrifying.
I was watching last night. I'm so glad to hear you say this, Michael. I was watching this last night. I was watching CNN, and they kept going on and on and on about, you know, how the president said all these things, and now there's a red line, and commentator after commentator yesterday was saying, you know, we don't have a choice. We can't be embarrassed. We can't, you know, be the laughingstock. And I'm thinking, we're talking about the possibility of millions dead. Who cares about your stupid honor if all it means is, you know what? I said something I shouldn't have said. I'm going to shut my mouth now. And what do you say? We leave those millions alive.
Glenn, I'm going to make it even worse. The people in these concentration camps are told constantly and explicitly, there's like 100,000, 200,000 people, should the U.S. imperialists invade, we will kill you all and burn these camps to the ground. So like you're saying, if someone has a gun to my kid's head, if someone has a bomb, they're going to blow up a school, they can call me every name in the book. Please call me all the names you want. Just don't kill the children. And the idea that, like, well, we better go in and kill the children first as a response is even more demented.
How is North Korea, if the United States would respond, I can't imagine that South Korea, because it would be almost like our American Civil War, is right. going to sit happily by as a Seoul is most likely destroyed.
Yes.
And secondly, they have family members up there. It would be viewed as the United States killing their family members, would it not?
To some extent, those families have been separated now for 70 years with no communication with each other. But let's talk something else. You know, people are saying they have nukes now. This is unprecedented. They've had missiles pointing at Seoul for decades.
Yeah.
Seoul is a city with tens of millions of people with skyscrapers. Can you imagine the imagery of missiles hitting a city full of skyscrapers, even if they didn't have nukes? Is that something people are comfortable with? Or it's just, well, at least it wasn't nukes that are hitting these skyscrapers. I mean, is that what we're talking about? And that is what we're talking about. So it's a very dangerous situation. And Glenn, I know you remember very well the war mania that led up to the Iraq war and how everyone's like, we got to do something. We got to do something now. Emergency, emergency, emergency. Let's freak out. Let's do things as quickly as possible. And it's like what I was taught growing up in school is that war is a last resort. It's not the first thing you do, and it's not your best option, especially when you're dealing with a regime that is comfortable killing its own citizens to maintain its hold on power.
Talking to Michael Malice, KimJongIlBook.com is the site. Michael, is there an increase in their resources lately? I mean, they've been able to outpace all of our intelligence estimates as to what they've been able to develop.
Like crazy.
They're dumping money into things like renovating the Hotel of Doom, which, you know, is only the Hotel of Doom because they didn't have money at one point.
It's the Hotel of Doom. So let's talk about how North Korea uses their army. North Korea, everyone in the army does construction. So they're not just sitting around or whatever. They actually build things. So that hotel, which is, I think, at one point the largest building in the Eastern Hemisphere, something crazy, the Rongyang Hotel, was structurally unsound. So it was never completed because it can't be completed. It's a complete mess. And it just looms like this giant hulk over Pyongyang. But let me also talk about, you were talking about having empathy for the North Korean people. When I went there and we were taking the bus from the airport to the capital city, my guide pointed at that hotel and she goes, look, there's our latest rocket launch. And, you know, we don't think of them as human beings. They have sense of humor. They have families. You know, when you're on the street, you see the grandmothers doting with their grandkids. You see teenage girls giggling when you wave at them. The fact that these people are capable of having some semblance of humanity in the most inhumane country on earth behooves us when you read news reports and trying to make them out to be clowns. Keep in mind, again, like I said earlier,
they're not clowns.
If someone has your family as a hostage, you're going to put on clown makeup too.
Yeah, and it's not as the people are, when Semi says, you know, these people are clowns, they're meaning, you know, I think people like Kim Jong-un, et cetera, et cetera. He's not a clown. He is.
No.
He knows what he's doing. He just operates with a completely different operating system
right.
than we do.
And the whole point of my book is spelling out how they operate and what they're doing, because it's very logical. It's very methodical. But let me speak a bit about the clown issue. Like, I remember there was an article in a British paper that showed the marching, and it's referred to Kim Jong-un's mini-skirted robot army, that these young women, you know, in the army are all marching in lockstep and ha-ha-ha. It's like, you know, they're hostages. Of course they're going to march like they're told. They're not robots. To call someone a robot is to act like they don't have a soul or a mind of their own. And they very much do.
Okay, well, let me ask you, first of all, can we have you back? We're running out of time. Can we have you back on tomorrow?
Course. It's an honor.
Okay, I would love to. Go ahead.
We'll figure it out. We can figure it out, yes.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask you two other questions. First of all, Otto Warmbier, the kid that went over...
Right.
Was, you know, caught stealing a propaganda poster.
Right.
Was, you know, 15 years. What'd you say?
Trespassing.
Yes. 15 years to hard labor. Looks like they pretty much tortured him to death and dumped on our body, I thought, in a way that was very reminiscent of The Godfather, sending us a message. Here's your citizen back.
No. That's not it at all. They had him as a hostage. If you have a hostage, you want to return the hostage in one piece so you get your ransom. So when things turned south, they knew they couldn't take care of him, and that's why they dropped him off here. Think about it.
Okay.
He didn't serve a day of hard labor. They treat their hostages very, very well because they're a valuable resource.
Well,
remember when they kidnapped that Ling reporter? They got President Clinton to fly to Pyongyang and kiss Kim Jong-il's ring. That's a great coup.
Right, but this guy, it looks like he was drugged and tortured. That's
my understanding is that the autopsy showed no signs of trauma, and this could have been self-harm.
Huh. Okay, I had not heard that one. One last question.
Sure.
Is there something that we could be doing right now other than sitting on our hands and just hoping for the best now, is there something that we should be doing or we should be encouraging some other country to be doing?
Yeah, we should be sitting down with China and saying, what is it going to take for you to turn on these people once and for all? And frankly, Glenn, if they have a...
did we lose them again?
A food, and they don't have concentration camps, I'm fine with it.
You're saying if China would just roll in and they were still communist, but they were fed and no concentration camps.
Right. Communist in the Chinese model. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can live with that. They don't need to have some Western liberal democracy. As long as they don't have to live in constant fear that their children are going to be murdered, that's all I need.
Hmm. How old were you when you left the former Soviet Union?
2 years old.
And your parents... came over here with you when?
78.
So they escaped and knew what they were escaping.
Oh, yes. Oh, of course. And it wasn't anywhere near as bad towards the end as it had been, you know, when they were growing up. And it's certainly nowhere near as bad as North Korea.
So, do you watch the TV show The Americans?
I couldn't because they have them being patriotic Russians, and that wasn't a thing. By the 80s, everyone was cynical and knew that the system was nonsense.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. So I'd love to have you on maybe again tomorrow, and because I'd like to talk to you about what it's like to live in a communist country.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, what you know, and then and how we've kind of blown it here on our side. And when maybe perhaps you have some insight on Putin as well.
I'll just tell you one sentence. We fought the KGB and now we have the NSA. No, I'm not joking.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Mike, good to have you on. Michael Malice, michaelmalice.com, michaelmalice.com. You can grab the book, Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Biography of Kim Jong-il. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow a little bit about, you know, what it's like to live in a communist country and what your family saw. And how that relates to today. Thank you so much, Michael. We'll talk to you
again. Thank you so much, Glenn.
You bet. Now this, in our tech-addicted world, free Wi-Fi is really hard to resist. I mean, it's easy. 92% of Americans are using it every day and potentially putting themselves at risk if you use public Wi-Fi. Now, you got to stay connected. So what happens? The unsecure Wi-Fi system is easier than you might think to hack into. And that's why identities are stolen about every 2 seconds. Somebody loses their identity. Now, this is not somebody is, you know, their credit card is stolen. This is their identity is taken. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there is a problem, the U.S.-based identity restoration specialists are going to work to fix it. But they have something else that they're doing right now. Because, for instance, hacking is such a big problem, you need to make sure that your computers and everything that you use locked up tight as a drum, and that there's no viruses or anything else that's coming. Norton Security is now joining LifeLock, and Norton Security, you can get it for free for the first year if you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. It's 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code BECK15. Again, you're going to save 15%. BECK15 is the promo code. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com. Terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Glenn Beck Program. Hello, America. I thought he was fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, an incredible life he's lived. And you know, it's one of those things. I remember I was very jokey about North Korea for a long time. It does seem silly. There's so much ridiculousness there. And I remember it was Michael Malice's book and also Jonah Goldberg column I read at one point. And, you know, this is really like Hitler in our time going on.
Oh, I know. And like, we don't pay attention.
And we just don't treat it that way at all. And we just kind of treat it as this sort of silly thing that's going on in this other part of the world. And it really is serious.
Yeah, there's a couple of things happening in the world. And I will share some pretty big news about the Nazarene Fund. I got word that one of our operations went well, which the operations that we're involved in now with the Nazarene Fund are absolutely hair-raising. I will hopefully have all the information cleared to be able to share with you tomorrow. But what's happening in the Middle East and what's happening in North Korea, those are probably the two biggest stories that, you know, we'd like to say on our high horse, oh, you know, our founders should have done something about slavery. Oh, I would have done something about that. I would have, really? Oh, the world should have reacted, you know, with Hitler and the concentration camps. Where was the rest of the world? I would react different. Really? Because it's happening. It's happening right now. And we're going through the same thing that every society goes through. What do you do? What do you do? And the average person is not the one making those big sweeping differences. It is the governments that do it. And that's why we took on the Nazarene Fund. You can't wait for the government. I don't know what you do with concentration camps in North Korea. Holy cow. Can we get that guy who escaped? Do you think we could find him? Guy who escaped the concentration camp in North Korea and came out and smuggled information out. He is fascinating, because what they're doing in these concentration camps, America doesn't know, and I don't think the world really cares. And we should. It's not a drumbeat to war, but it's at least something that you need to be aware of. A special on North Korea and its leadership tonight at 5, only on the Blaze TV.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.